You're listening to One in a series of presentations from the 2008 High Ed Web Conference in Springfield, Missouri.
Just a quick background for you guys. Xavier University is a small private Jesuit university in southwest Ohio in the Cincinnati area. And it's the home of the Musketeers. Here he is right now, pictured with the president of the university, Father Graham. And for all of you basketball fans out there, you might remember us from the Elite Eight last year. And our website is xavier.edu. We just launched a new homepage this past August. We have over 350 websites on our server, which is about 23,000 web pages. And we have 165 active web editors. And these could be administrative assistants, faculty members, student workers who are working on the website using our content management system. We have about 1 million page views per month.
I'm going to talk about Xavier's web team. Xavier's web team is located in the Information Resources Department, which is unusual for a lot of universities where you might find your web teams in your marketing department. We find that not being in the marketing department is actually beneficial to us because we are actually located with the IT staff. The IT staff is essential to the website. Obviously, they run our servers. So we work hand-in-hand in the same building, and it works perfectly for us. In 2006, Xavier's web team was two people. You may recall last year there was a session here that our director did about building a web team. That presentation is still online on the High Ed Web Dev website if you're interested in that. But basically, there's Doug, our director. And 2008 now, we have nine people. That includes Rob Leisland, who just did a presentation right before us. Doug Riga. Kay, I'm blocking the screen. Kay Orozonski, Kevin Lavelle. We've got Brian Wiley, Sherman Cahill, and Doug Rushman. Now that we have nine people, is always in meetings. We also have three talented student employees. Now, the question is web services for web services. A lot of people are coming here and thinking web services in the technical sense. There is a technical web service. But basically, what we're answering here is, as a web department, web resource department, there are different things that you do on a daily basis that may take up your time. We're going to explain some of the resources that we've developed, ideas that we've come up with to save ourselves time, to allow us to have more time with our users and less time doing those daily routine activities. And basically, we're answering a need.
Okay, at any given time, as you all know, the web services office is always inundated with projects. And currently we have 16 A-level projects, 11 B-level projects, and 21 C-level projects. And we designate them by priority A, B, and C, depending on how closely they are related to university goals and enrollment goals. And we use SharePoint to manage all our projects. Here's a screenshot of our web services project list. We have the name of the project, who's responsible for the project, and a brief description, and we do weekly updates in the update section.
Give you a little bit about Xavier's technical background so you can understand where we're coming from. Obviously, this is not move your mic up a little bit. Obviously, this is not the propeller head track, so we're not going to be getting really technical with you. But to give you an idea of the resources that we have at our hands and how we were able to use those resources to generate some of the ideas that you'll see here. Xavier University uses an IIS server. We originally were on an Apache server, like a lot of people are, but they moved us to an IIS server. It's been okay for us. We're also in a load balance system. And basically, some people will ask, well, what exactly is a load balance system? I will tell you, if you are not on a load balance system, please talk to your technical staff. It is very, very useful. What will happen is basically if you have two redundant servers running, or even more, and if one server gets inundated, crashes, or has a heavy load, it'll start to dump that information to the other server. So your users and your visitors We'll never see any type of outage, which is perfect for us. And especially when we were in that Elite 8, our site traffic jumped higher than an entire year's worth of traffic. Unbelievable. And we were able to handle that. We use Code Fusion. We moved up to Code Fusion 8 in January. It's incredibly awesome. I know a lot of people said it was a dying technology, but it really has had a rebirth with 08, and it's perfect. Our CMS is Campus Suite. It is done by a group called InterSync Studios, who actually has a booth here at the session. And they Xavier has been working with InterSync Studios since 1999. It's been a perfect relationship. They are presenting a corporate track, little plug for them, tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Campus Suite has been incredibly awesome for us and our users. As we said, we have 165 active web editors. Every single one of those has attended training and is actively using them. We actually have 300 web users, but we say 165 active users. Some of the things about Campus Suite. Here you see one of our templates. Campus Suite allows us to have pre-generated templates, both ones that InterSync has helped us develop and ones that we've done ourselves. We've reviewed a lot of CMSs, and this was the one we liked the best because it allowed us to design our own templates and have our own existing brand. Here's some screenshots from the CMS. We have inline editing. Here is a really nice thing that we have is page history revisions. It allows us to roll back to previous versions. Here is a kind of a news module. There's an image, a robust image gallery manager. Here's a web gallery manager. It also gives us site statistics. Allows us to know how many active pages we have, how many active sites. It also gives us recent activity. This is perfect for us as administrators. We can see that what's going on Xavier's website, who's editing pages, and we've actually had a few instances where pages have disappeared, and we've been able to look back at the logs and help that person figure out why their site disappeared when they accidentally hit delete. Site analytics, very, very important to web services. Most of our decisions as far as large website changes are based on our site analytics. A lot of people use Google Analytics. It's a perfect solution, but we decided to go out and use a vendor. We went with HBX, who was once at one point in time Website Story. Then they became, Visual Sciences, and now they're just purchased by Omniture. We're currently in our site, in our transition mode right now to Omniture. So next year, I'll let you know how that went.
All right. Our web services website is at xavier.edu/web. And on our website, we have information about us, who we are, how we work. And we also have our web request forms and a web branding and style guide on there. And we also have on the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see we'll have a current news and events that feeds in from the Campus Suite content management system. And we also send out a quarterly newsletter to all our campus web editors to keep them informed and updated about what's going on with the web office, what we're doing, and we also invite them to give us feedback on what they're doing as well. And this year we launched Web Week 2008, which what it is a whole week-long series of training sessions for our on-campus web editors. We had a total of 19 sessions, which consisted of anything from basic HTML 101 to advanced photo editing and how to put together a photo gallery. And the main part of the training session is for how to use our content management system. We had a total of 58 attendees, and out of those, we had 31 web masters, which we gave out webmaster certification awards for people who complete a series of a session of required classes. And it helps us to have informed editors because it makes us frees up our time to do our jobs when they can go and edit their own web pages.
We found that we used to take phone calls. people would call in, and that's how our point of start was for our projects. We decided to go ahead and create several different forms on the Xavier's Web Services Web Team's website. And the different forms that we had, basically, they saved us time and frustration. They did a lot of the basic things that we did in intake. They collected all the information we needed. It also gave us a way to, we dumped that into a database, and then we kind of were able to audit how when people call in, ask questions, keep track of projects. And some of the forms that we've created include a, so this one's the website access form. We did a web project request form, a web update request form, and also a web consultation form.
Okay, our web brand and style guide is also on the web services website so that people can refer to it when they are editing their own web pages. And why is that important? We don't want our web pages to look like this in the hands of our campus web editors. So you see here we have our web style guide. We kind of spelled out all the styles that they could use right here. So they can always refer to this page. It can look under heading styles, basic web typography styles. And we also have, of course, the web color palette that we adapted from our print brand.
One of the kind of more things that we're proud of is our 404 page. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Basically, why a 404 page? A lot of people know that if you type in a wrong address or if you have a missing page, your server will give a nasty 404 page. But we suggest, and a lot of people suggest, using a page that's a little bit more descriptive. It tells the person why exactly they've landed on the page and why they've earned that error. Some of the requirements that we say and others, including ListApart and other blogs out there say, is important to have on your 404 page is a brief explanation of the error. It's good to have an A to Z guide or a site index link, a search box, options to report the error, whether you're reporting to the webmaster or whatever site you're at. And then also make that page simple. A lot of 404 pages, including a lot of the default 404 pages that come with a server, are very complicated. A regular user wouldn't be able to understand some of that information on there. And kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly that we found around there include this page. We like this because it's fun, but at the same time, it explains to the user why they've found an error. We also have this one. This one was a flash site. This is bluedaniel.com. It's actually wider depending on the size screen you have. And as you land on the subway station, track 404, the subway comes by, and there's movie posters for different movies that have something to do with lost, missing. I think over there there's, it looks like a missing children's advertisement, but it's actually a missing web page advertisement. Very interesting. It's kind of a simple page, kind of straight and to the point. Here's a fun one. This guy wants to punk you out with his 404 page. Here's a few university sites, a few that we liked. Biola University really kind of lays out the information, but then also gives you some really quick links at the bottom. We really kind of like the way that looked. There's also Cornell University, very simple, but at the same time, it gives all the resources and all those requirements that we suggest that you use. University of Hawaii has a reporting function on the bottom of theirs. You can just fill out their form, take some time, fill out their form, and send it in. Also, here's a roadmap to your 404. Kind of, you follow that, and hopefully you'll find the page you were looking for. Now we're getting down to the ugly. Not, you know, these are kind of neat, but at the same time, not very informative. Harvard University, if anyone's here from Harvard, I'm sorry for pulling this up, but denied is not a good 404. Xavier University came up with what we call a smart 404 page. This is our 404 page. I'll explain a little bit in a minute why exactly we consider it a smart 404 page. Basically, what we do, when the server finds a missing page, or if you mistype a URL, what happens in the background, and we do this in ColdFusion, is that the server will actually look for, what will happen is that the server will trigger a 404 error. And it'll take the URL that the user was looking for, and it'll append a 404 in front of it. And this is all servers have some type of routine for 404. This is what IIS does. It'll append the 404 in front of that, and what we'll do is we'll use a script to pull out the missing folder name. So we have missing folder, and then we have a XML file where we do all of our redirects. It'll look to see if that missing folder name exists in the XML file. So, for instance, in this example, missing folder actually is located in new location. And it'll automatically switch that person to that page. They don't see anything. It's seamless. What this script also will do is it will look to see if there's a directory that exists. If the directory exists but there's no index file, it'll look for the next available file. So we try to help our user find that missing page. And for the most part, it works pretty well. If it doesn't work, you'll land on our 404 page. We've done some of the requirements you see, link to the home page, search box, A to Z index, information why you received there. But we also give them two ways to alert us of this error. Kind of like that University of Hawaii page where we gave them a form. A lot of times, people, they get frustrated. They say, 404, I'm out of here. We want to keep them here, and we want to make it as easy as possible. So what we've done is we've created an AJAX button up there. What that does is it makes sure that the user doesn't leave the site. They submit the button. It's reported to us anonymously. And we find that a lot of people are using that. We also have the traditional contact the webmaster. We really don't get that because a lot of people just like pushing that button. Here's what happens after you push the button. It just says thank you for taking the time to report the bad site, in case you can't read that in the back. And then it goes into a 404 management program that we just wrote our own. This uses jQuery Grid, very nice program for AJAX. And what it does is it basically, it's kind of really simple. It's ugly because this is all behind a password-protected administrative background. But it'll give us the requested page, the reference, and then we go in there and we have the date, visitor IP, so we can look to see if there's a professor who just got frustrated and just kept hitting the button over and over again. And then we go through there, and as they're corrected, we just click on the button, and it changes it to a check mark, and then we know that we've corrected those. We use our three web students. They use this the most and are really effective in going out there and looking for some of those 404 errors. Some of the statistics that we've had with this 404 page, and January of 08, when we launched this 404 page and then the error reporting, we were getting about 500 errors a month was average. Now we're down to about 40 or 50. Now granted, it's a little bit different than like a corporate site where once you fix the errors, you probably should never have the errors again. A university site is a very organic site. You're always going to have errors. So when I say 40 to 50, I mean that's almost perfect in my mind because there's always going to be more errors. Some of the other things we do at Xavier for web services, kind of tips that we find are useful. With our analytics code, we use a simple include for all of our analytics. And then basically when a user creates a new site, we give them that code. It's on our web services webpage, and then they can insert it. Also, if they use our content management system, it's already built into that. They don't have to do anything, nothing they have to do, and it's already set up. And we'll check it. We usually ask them, hey, did you set up a new site? Let's check and make sure your analytics are running on that. Some of the other things that we find useful, kind of web services, when we are designing and programming pages, every web platform out there, CodeFusion, PHP, ASP, allows you to insert some kind of like a mail tag in your code. So as you're programming site or a program and you need to make sure it's working, as a developer, we'll put that CF mail in there for CodeFusion. And what it'll do is it'll email me when someone's gone to the site. It'll give me information like there was an error, these are the variables that were passed. We find that to be very helpful. Also, another thing that we have that's really helpful is a recently updated script. With 165 web editors editing sites all the time. I mean, when we look at our logs and we see people in there doing sites at 4 a.m. in the morning, it's not easy to keep track of all those sites out there. Obviously, our our department is more concerned with those top-level pages and not so much those smaller sub-tiered pages, different departments. And so what we'll do is we'll go on there and we'll check this recently updated script. It just lists out all the different web pages when they're updated. We'll go on and just check them to make sure that they're looking good. And especially if something pops up in the 404 error report, we'll make sure we'll go in there and fix those problems. Also, we have on the Xavier homepage, and the slide disappeared. I don't know what happened to it. We're working off of a PowerPoint. We have a recently searched box right underneath our search box, and it lists out three different keywords of the most frequently searched sites. We used to do that manually. We'd go in there every week, every 2 weeks, and change out what we thought was the most frequently searched. What we do now is we have a script. Basically, as a person searches, it just dumps that variable, that search term, into a database. Then we just query the database and automatically fill that out. So when we get closer to the NCAA time in March, all of a sudden we'll start to see more terms related to basketball in there. Right now, we're getting close to family weekend, so we'll probably have the bookstore link going up there. And that's really helpful. So basically now we want to kind of open it up to the crowd to kind of get an idea from people what kind of services, web services, your team might be providing and how that helps. And then also, if you have any questions, we'll also we'll take those now too. But we're more interested in hearing kind of some ideas of what other people are doing. Yeah.
So I'll tell you what we do in a second. But So the keywords that you put up?
Yeah. They are from searches. Anybody who does, so we use the Google search engine, kind of the integration that they have. We work that onto the site, and then as a user types in a keyword, search term, we split it two ways. We send that to Google, but then we also send it to our database, and we just kind of keep track of that. And then we have a few keywords that we skip. Obviously, you know, if someone's typing something we don't want up on the homepage, we'll just put it in there, and it's kind of like our exempt list. But for the most part, we have an idea of what we'd like to see up there. So we do kind of direct them, those keywords up on the top. But for the most part, it is kind of dynamic, which is really nice.
And so it's live?
Yeah, it's live. It's up on Xavier's homepage.
Where is it? Is it right on the homepage?
It's xavier.edu. It's at the top. I can go back to the beginning. We have a screenshot at the very beginning of our...
Period.
It usually updates about every week, I think.
Okay, so it is.
There we go. That's Xavier homepage. And right underneath the search box, which is in the upper right corner, right now it says library. Kind of scrunch that. The last one's all card. So right now, library, I think we're going to have to write a rule for that because library is obviously our most traversed website at Xavier. So it's been up there for quite a long time. But right now, all cards up there, because we have new students on campus, that's their ID and also their banking card and the other amenities that we offer through there. And it's really popular right now. So students are finding out that they're getting discounts around Cincinnati with the all card. They're looking that up. And you had a few that you did yourself?
Yeah, well, we do something very similar for our search. We basically put a tag cloud of all the top searches, including keywords, you know, the state, the spelling, everything like that.
Mm-hmm. We do about once a week. What we did before is we just looked at our analytics. Analytics do the most frequently searched terms. But obviously, those were really starting to... We always had library at the top. We always had basketball part of the year. So what we've done is we've just basically filtered out some of those things. We know when they need to go up there, and we'll kind of force them up there. But for the most part, we try to let it be a little bit organic. So we kind of... We don't know what people are always searching. Yeah, they do, actually. I mean, we have a lot of people who search, and so I think as they search and they see, oh, there's a quick link, I can kind of go there and just get that information. So it's, yeah, they're, I mean, not as much as a search, but still frequently used, which is great. Yeah.
Are you tracking actual usage? Like, you've got your top searches, which is something that we did for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys tracking, like, when somebody clicks that, you know, and they go to library, bookstore, all card, can you actually tell that they came from a top search term, or are you just getting information that they came from the homepage?
Yeah, with the analytics system, HBX, the visual sciences that we're using, they have the path tracks where you can kind of follow their path. And what we've done in the past, and I don't think they're up there right now, but we would put like a query string on the end of that, and then we could just follow that query string. So we do like all card. That would be the URL. So xavier.edu/allcard, and then question mark, and then frequently searched equals homepage. And then we'd be able to follow that path all the way through to see exactly where they've gone. Now, we're switching to Omniture, so I'm assuming that there's something similar to that. If not, we're going to have a phone call with them, because it's really really helpful to follow those pathings. Yeah?
Within our CMS, we there's two services. We build a lot of services. The one most popular is one of our guys wrote a nightly book check program, so it goes through, runs through everything's site in the middle of the night, and sends the admin of that site a link to check, basically says, here's what's broken on his web page, here's where it's broken, this is what we're linking to. And if there's nothing wrong, they don't get the report. We run that on about 170 sites, so that goes out every morning, so folks can come in if they have a problem, they fix it. That's kind of a valuable service. So they don't have to do any work, they get it right on their desk.
Oh, excellent. So it's a nightly link checking program that he has. When you guys come in the morning, are you getting a lot of links? I mean, is it? Okay. Oh, sure. Yeah, excellent. Right. So you're putting it back in the user hands, which is great. And I think if there's anything that we find that really helps us as a web team is whatever we can put back in our users' hands. And that's an excellent idea. Kind of giving one of the things that we want to move forward with our CMS is also giving our users kind of like a report of when was the last time you updated your page? We'd like to have some type of content expire. And we've talked with our CMS vendor, and we've kind of narrowed down some ideas. But basically, we're thinking like 6 months. If someone hasn't done anything with their website in 6 months, let's just send them an email. Remind them. Say, hey, you haven't updated your website. We've got a very organic website. Really needs a change. Let's make some type of update. And if you can't do it yourself, maybe you've lost that person who updated, or you need some assistance, we'll just give them some information on how we can either do it for them or train somebody else in their department. Yeah. Okay.
We use the XML file with XSL transformations on them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the similarities here, we have about 300 to 360, but only about 180 active content authors also. One of the things that we're currently running into is the definition of what's official and unofficial, what goes into the official look and feel as opposed to the unofficial. And a question that I kind of have out of that is, how do you guys handle the aspect of working with your marketing group? Who determines your look and feel? We work very collaboratively. We don't actually work with them. We're not in the same department, but we work very collaboratively with them. They provide us what they want the look and feel to be. We provide the changes into the XSL transformation so that it transforms rather quickly based on what they give us. But how do you guys interface with the marketing group to get that determination into how your presence shows up?
Mm-hmm.
And also, another side question is, do you guys have personal web spaces mm-hmm. or based on accounts, and do you guys also interface with that?
Right. Can we talk about the marketing part?
I'm the web designer on the team. I've always been in the marketing department, so this is kind of new for me being in just with the IT or IR group. I work closely with the marketing team in terms of they still drive some of the look and feel with their print pieces, and then I just take that and adopt it onto the website. But what's starting to happen now is that we get a lot of projects where we need the website up before the print pieces goes out. So now I have to do a lot of the look and feel, and I kind of work with the print designers to kind of collaborate on that. And also, we have a brand guide that I go off of, so I don't do anything too crazy. So it's still all under the brand look.
We had we were a Novell campus up until we're transitioning off of Novell. So we had our faculty and students each had web space. It was automatically mapped to their computer. And so now we're starting to basically narrow down some ideas on how we can move forward now that we're leaving Novell. And what we've come up with is we're going to give students some space through AD. That's what we've moved to, which is a Microsoft product. And we're going to give students some space through there. And for faculty and staff, I think we're also going to give them faculty and staff, but we've also have used our CMS to create a faculty's area. And then that way, we found that in the past, we would give faculty sites, faculty just wouldn't use it. For the most part, we have a few really good faculty members that know Dreamweaver really well. They've got awesome sites. But for the most part, faculty just didn't utilize their space, and then basically we were paying Novell a yearly contract to maintain servers that people, they were really underutilized. So with the CMS, we can train a person in about 2 hours how to do everything top to bottom with their site. We'll create the initial shell of the site in the CMS in Campus Suite, give it to them, and allow them to go ahead and edit it. We'll check back with them maybe once every week for like 2 or 3 weeks just to see how it's going. We're finding a lot of faculty members are really enjoying that. What we did as far as like managing that is we created a faculty directory, and then we just do by username folders going down from there. And it ends up being pretty good, and it's a lot more used than Novell ever was. It was perfect for us. Yeah?
How did you handle the development of the template for those personal spaces to keep in line with the marketing mission versus giving the freedom for the faculty to express themselves?
Sure. We have a default template that we use. And what we've done is to kind of give people a little bit more uniqueness, a little personality with their site, is they can actually change the color of that template. And I think we have, what, 8 colors now that they can choose from. They kind of like that because it gives them a little bit off of what they see across the rest of the site. But at the same time, we're kind of keeping them in that what we're calling our web brand. And basically, when they go in there, they have the ability to, they can change text, they can add photos, and everything. We're now we're looking at there's a solution that our CMS vendor has, InterSync, about being able to give them a little bit more personalization with the templates. Right now, they can't really change the fact that there's a bar across the top with the Xavier logo. We like having that in there. We like having that consistency. But eventually, we would like that to we want to keep that logo there, and we want to keep some of the parts, but give them a little bit more control. The student sites, we don't touch the student sites. It's kind of out of our realm. We do have, in part of the information resources department at Xavier, we have an information technology services department, and they really are the ones who work with the faculty on those sites once we've kind of helped them transition over into Campus Suite. So they help the faculty keep them updated because there's a lot of faculty like to put up videos, kind of a syllabus, and their team kind of helps them with that. But they also work with the students. So it completely out of our hands, the student realm. But for the most part, I understand that the student sites only go out to students who are like in the information services classes, any classes where they have to create a website. That's how they're deploying those for now. Yeah?
I'm curious, and this kind of goes back to your 404 system mm-hmm. that you're using, and then ties into the bigger picture. Are you using anything to kind of manage like project workflow? I saw you had a system up there earlier. What kind of system are you using?
Yeah, we use Microsoft SharePoint, and I don't remember exactly where it was in here. But basically, when we have the, I can't find it, but we have web forms that we showed before, and a web form comes in and comes into our web services coordinator. He'll take that form, review it, maybe have a meeting with that department, and come back and then decide which of the 9 people in our department will work on that project. We have a weekly meeting, which if you don't do a weekly meeting, I mean, it's not a web service, but definitely one of the best services you can do for your group. So that weekly meeting, we'll sit down and we'll talk about those projects that were through the intake that past week. And through SharePoint, he'll assign the different people who work on those projects. And then when we log on to SharePoint, which is a very, when you're on campus, you just log on and it automatically brings you in there. You can sort by your projects. And then, like Kat said, we have A list, B list, and C list, or levels, and then we'll rank those. So obviously, when I get in the morning, I'll check, see what projects I'm on, how far I'm along. We can put our status on there, basically how far along they are. And that's how we keep track of those. Hopefully that.
Are you able to let your constituents see that? So it's, you know, Department X, and they want to know, well, how far are you on Project Y? Can they get in and see that kind of stuff?
We haven't discussed that, only because we launched SharePoint about 6 months ago, and right now it's only open to our division, so it wasn't even an option. But it is certainly something that we've talked about, and we haven't come to a conclusion as far as, because we're now in the kind of developmental stages of SharePoint, so we haven't opened it up, and I guess our CIO is deciding whether or not we should open it up to all of campus. Yeah?
Question about your project prioritization. Mm-hmm. Is that done solely within your team, or do you go back to marketing? You said that you did it based on university priorities. Mm-hmm. Is there someone else who has a say?
Our coordinator meets with the director of the kind of the e-marketing, and she has a web team herself, and they do alumni emails, like the alumni website, and then also a giving website and a few other kind of alumni enrollment development areas. They have a weekly meeting, and they do compare lists. And they talk about where can we help you, where can you help us, and we do coordinate a lot of our projects with them. A lot of times we need information from them, content, oftentimes videos, so we'll kind of work with them and prioritize along with them. And like Kat said, print pieces, too, are a big thing. Sometimes we have to have a website done the day the print piece goes out, or a few days before the print piece goes out. So obviously when a person gets it in the mail, they have a website to go to. Any other questions? Comments? Everyone's ready for lunch. Well, thank you very much for attending our session. We posted our presentation online at Xavier's website. Also, it'll be available on Higher Ed Web Dev's website. Please feel free to give us any questions you might have. We'd be happy to hear other ideas that you're using, or give you some pointers and some ideas of what we're doing. So thank you very much for attending.
For more presentations from the 2008 Higher Ed Web Conference, visit highedweb.org/2008 or sign up for our podcasting feed at highedweb.org/podcast.xml.